Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Greg Blatt, an internet and technology executive. Greg has over two decades of experience leading companies in corporate America and has been the CEO at a number of companies, including Match.com, IAC, Match Group, and Tinder. And Greg, thanks for joining us here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're more than welcome, and thanks for your time. So for starters, can you start by giving us a little bit of your background information about your career? We kind of highlighted that quickly there. And how did you come to lead at an executive level? I'm sure listeners would like to hear that aspect as well.
Well, it was not the most common route in that I didn't really have much of an idea what I wanted to do. I took a few years off college and was a bartender out in Telluride, Colorado, and ski bum. And then I went to law school because I thought I'd be good at law school. I didn't really have a lot of plan beyond that. I then fell in love with corporate law and mergers and acquisitions and finance and went off to become a mergers and acquisitions lawyer. Did that for a few years and then went to take one of my clients public, who was Martha Stewart. She was taking her company, Martha Stewart Living Public, back in 1999. And I became the general counsel there. 4 years later, I went to work at IAC, which was a big internet conglomerate. It owned Expedia, Ticketmaster, Hotels.com, LendingTree. You know, this was way back in the early 2000s. And I was general counsel there for 4 or 5 years. And then the CEO, Barry Diller, asked me to go run the Match.com business, which at the time was a very small business. I left my legal position. I became CEO of that company, returned it to growth after several years of stagnation, and then was asked to be the CEO of the main public company. Did that for several years before going back to the Match business, which by that point, we'd added lots of other dating companies within it, including launching Tinder. And we were going to take that company public. And so I ran that. 2 years later, we took it public. And I ran that for a couple of years. So it was a question of focusing on the next decision, not really focusing that much down the road. I went where the opportunity seemed to be and where I was having fun and what was interesting, and it all worked out quite well.
And I'd certainly say it did, and it's really interesting. You've tapped into a lot of different industries and learned a whole lot along the way. I have no doubt about that. Now, how do you feel the industry has changed over the past two decades? Do you view these changes as largely positive or negative?
Wow. Let's see. I'm going to define industry broadly as consumer internet technology, because there's a lot of different ways you could define it. And that was generally sort of the broad space that I was in. I think it's changed an incredible amount. If you think about sort of where we were at IAC back in the early 2000s, Google hadn't launched yet. Facebook hadn't launched yet. Amazon was a bookstore. Microsoft was really the only sort of incumbent company, and no one at the time really thought of them as having a chokehold or a dominant invincible position. And people really did believe, I think, that they were doing, if not God's work, really important work that was going to really change humanity for the better. And I think that, everyone was a capitalist, no question. But people were really in it, thinking that the things they were doing were going to change everything for the better. And that really permeated sort of the quote unquote industry. I think if you fast forward to today, people think about Google and Amazon and to some degree Facebook and Apple as, strong incumbents. With not necessarily a stranglehold, but with dominant positions that people don't expect to change tomorrow. I don't think there are a lot of business models that are set on disrupting Amazon and putting Amazon out of business. I think people look for businesses that can grow within Amazon or beside Amazon, but there's this feeling of conquered territory that I don't think really existed 20 years ago. And I also think that, that maybe the even bigger difference is I think people realize that the things that they set out to create as pure sources of good and positive change have all come with unintended negative consequences. That's not to make a value judgment that those negative consequences outweigh the positive consequences, but I think you know, whether you're talking about free speech issues with Facebook and social media and Twitter, or depression issues with Instagram and TikTok, or you know, Amazon, you know, labor issues and all these sorts of things, you know, dating the space I was from, you know, is a great example. We set out to make dating better, to increase people's connections. And in many ways, we did that, and it became ubiquitous, which was unthinkable back in 2000. At the same time, people date less than they used to. They have less sex than they used to. People are lonelier than they used to be. I mean, this was not what sort of that wave of internet pioneers expected. And, you know, in many ways, these unintended consequences are sort of the opposite of what was intended. So I think there's, I don't know if cynicism is the right word, but there's more ambivalence, I think, about, you know, what we're doing. And I think you see that in AI right now, where I think there's an awareness that this is an incredibly powerful tool and it can do a lot of good. But I think there's also some skepticism and some caution that I think you wouldn't have found 20 years ago.
Thanks for the feedback there. That is much appreciated per your expertise. Now, your time as a leader has seen you head both large corporations and fast-growing startups as well. That's quite a vast difference on the spectrum there. What are the unique challenges that each present?
Well, I mean, it's so, you know, the different stages of a company are, you know, require very different activities and skill sets. You know, again, focusing on the consumer internet space, you know, the first thing you've got to do is create a product, right? And, you know, historically, if you're building a railroad, right, that's going to take a really long time. With a lot of consumer internet, it doesn't take that long a time. You just look at something like Tinder, and from concept to launch, you're talking about months, not years. And, you know, the activities around coming up with an idea, trying to nail its product market fit and getting it out there in that kind of a short time span is just a very discrete set of skills, right? Most of it is idea creation. Once you've got it out there, you've got to grow the adoption, right? And a lot of times in again, the consumer internet space, you grow adoption without revenue, right? So you're creating this free product. Maybe you're lucky enough to have a business like Tinder that just takes off. And if you have that, you're running behind sort of you're running behind the engine trying to build people infrastructure and technology infrastructure, et cetera, which is completely different than coming up with the idea and building the app, right? Those are almost unrelated activities. And then you get to the point where you got to start actually making money. Suddenly it's a business, right? It's no longer a technology, it's a business. And you have to figure out a whole new set of things that you didn't care about a year ago or 3 years ago. And then finally, you get to the point where you've got revenue and you're worried about growth, but you've also got 300 employees, 500 employees, not four friends, you know, that you're working with. And so all these things are incredibly different. You know, when you get to the IAC stage where you've got multiple companies with thousands of employees, public shareholders and everything else, your job, again, your challenges are very different, right? You've got highly specialized labor, each of whom is dealing with a specific problem. And, you're at a management level, you're dealing with managing, you're not really dealing with solving those problems. So, they're very different. And I think, again, in the consumer internet space, you know, life cycles that used to be sort of play out over, you know, a decade or more now can play out within a year, a year and a half. And it creates just a very different set of pressures, dynamics, challenges that management and the company overall face.
Greg, really have appreciated your time spent with us so far. Some great information and insight shared already today. We're speaking with Greg Blatt. He's an internet and technology executive and has over two decades of experience leading companies in corporate America. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, you've talked in the past about the importance of experience when it comes to leading large companies and how it is a fairly recent trend for young entrepreneurs of fast-growing startups to continue at the top leadership level. Do you anticipate this trend to grow more prevalent in the future, or do you foresee the pendulum swinging the other direction?
I guess I expect it to continue. I mean, I think you've got this very interesting dynamic where, who's the CEO of the company is related to who has the power to make that decision, right? And, anytime you find a company with a 25, 27, 30-year-old CEO, I'm going to bet you pretty much everything I have that that person is also the founder of the company and that that person controls the decision-making, right? And that investors have put money in, but they've not put in enough money where they control that process. And I can also guarantee you that if that founder decided they didn't want to be CEO anymore, the person they would go out and hire would not be another 27-year-old, right? It would be someone with a broader and richer set of experiences. As we just talked about, the skill set necessary, each of these different phases of a company's development are very different. The young founder who understood what the market needed and sort of understood that something was missing and had this idea and the computer science chops to sort of build the app doesn't necessarily mean that they're good at managing hiring of 300 people or managing an accounting department and figuring out how to create revenue in a cost-effective way. But because the capital that comes in doesn't get that percentage of the vote to make the decision about who does and does not lead the company, that's not what happens. And I don't think that's going to change. I mean, I think the economic returns on a great idea are such that investors are willing to turn over the keys to the car to someone who may be a novice driver. And that's okay. I mean, a lot of those people have succeeded, but by all means, but a lot of them haven't. And I think that what you are gonna see more and more is while you may have the less experience in CEOs, I think there is increasingly going to be a premium on making sure that those people are correctly surrounded. I mean, if you look at some of the big success stories, right? You've got you've got Facebook brought in Sheryl Sandberg, Mark Zuckerberg brought in Sheryl early, and that was really smart. The guys at Google turned it over to Eric Schmidt for 10 years. Jeff Bezos was already older and more experienced when he launched Amazon. So I think that, when you have investors who understand that these younger CEOs need to be surrounded with experience, and when you have CEOs, the younger CEOs who are more focused on succeeding than anything else, they know that they need to bring that help in. And when you have that kind of a dynamic, I think it works really well. I think that where it gets screwed up is where you have leaders who think that because they were good at solving the initial problem, that somehow means that they are uniquely qualified to make all sorts of other decisions that really have nothing to do with that initial triumph. And there, I think you do see companies get into trouble. But I think the dynamic will continue. I just think people are going to get better and better at managing.
Good stuff. Great feedback there as well. Lastly, what advice would you give to young entrepreneurs trying to successfully lead their internet companies?
Well, again, it depends on the stage. I think if you've got the idea, then surround yourself with a couple of key people that can bring it to life, talk it through. It's never a solo game. But I think your first issue is bringing it to life. I think then as you've got a success and you start to try and build it, going back to the last discussion we had, I think surround yourself with people who've done and seen things that you haven't. If you're a young entrepreneur, you're going to see a whole lot of things for the first time. There are other people who will be seeing it for the 10th time. Don't try and reinvent the wheel is a huge cliche, but it's about as good as it gets. Don't spend your time trying to solve problems that other people have already solved and focus on the stuff that people haven't and you'll make it somewhere.
And there you have it. Some great advice for you young entrepreneurs tuning in today. Mr. Blatt, really appreciate your time spent with us here today on Enterprise Radio. If listeners wanted to get more information on yourself, where is the best place to do so?
LinkedIn is probably the best way.
And of course, check out the show notes on this broadcast, as we'll have all the links accordingly within the show notes there. Mr. Blatt, all the best. Thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Again, we've been speaking with Mr. Greg Blatt, an internet and technology executive, and has over two decades of experience leading companies in corporate America. And for all the details, simply visit gregblatt.co. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.